Nothing but the dusty ground and the palms and the ribbon of highway.
Look at the ripples in that. Must have been a triple strong quake to do that much damage.
The road looked as though it had been made from saltwater taffy, folded and refolded, until it switchbacked as far as the eye could see to north and south.
I think there's a bridge out up that way.
It'd be amazing if there were any bridges left at all after what must have gone down here at Skydark.
JB took off his fedora to wipe sweat from his forehead.
It's hotter than Nuke Red this morning. Can't tell at this distance if it's wrecked or not.
Is there any point in our exploring this wilderness, Lover?
We don't have much in the way of food. Then again, we can always swim through into the redoubt and make a jump to somewhere else.
Not me, Ryan. It'd take a lot to ever get me swimming again.
That puts me in mind of an old fellow who was terrified of swimming. A gypsy wench once told him that he'd die in the water. So he always took a boat, even to get across the smallest river.
Go on, Doc.
Well, I recall he was in a little yacht going across Puget Sound when an airplane crashed on the boat and they were all drowned.
There weren't any airplanes when you were around, Doc.
Quite right, my dear. Just testing you. It was a hot air balloon, of course.
Oh, Doc.
JB swatted away a persistent fly.
I'm not sure that the gateway doesn't seem a better bet than this pest hole. All sweat and bugs.
I reckon we could walk away farther. Maybe south. Those dolphins came from that direction. I'm interested in that. It's only... it's a couple hours shy of noon. I say we explore some.
A half a mile south, the road flattened and walking became easier. A light breeze sprang up from the west, cooling the sultry air and blowing away the flies and mosquitoes. Even JB conceded that he'd known some worse places than the Keys. With no sign of human life, it was a rare opportunity to relax, guns holstered. Ryan and Christy walked hand in hand, trailing 50 yards behind the rest of the group. She'd picked a delicate hibiscus flower and planted it into her blazing hair.
You look triple ace, Lover. Beautiful. And happy.
That's because I don't see us doing any chilling for a while. No blasters pointing around corners. We can sit and relax and not worry about suddenly getting a cold knife in the ribs. A place like this comes close to ideal.
Only close?
Yeah. Need some other folks within calling distance. Otherwise you get cabin fever.
I guess so.
And we'll need help in delivering the children.
Well, you aren't trying to tell me that...
You need a shave, Lover. No, I'm not expecting a little Roth or a little Cawder come to that.
One day.
One day.
The road climbed slightly upward, cutting off the view of the south. Dean, eager as ever, had run on ahead and had stopped on the crest of the rise. He turned to wave to his father and the rest of the group, calling for them to hurry up. Eventually, they could all look down. The chain of islands spread ahead of them like a necklace of gold and emeralds, set in a perfect sapphire sea. But what caught everyone's attention was the neat complex of buildings, dazzlingly white and clean, centered in a wired compound about a quarter mile ahead of them. From where they stood, it was possible to see a number of people moving around, most of them concentrated in the section of the place nearest to the sea.
There's dolphins down there, close by the quay.
Are we going down, Dad?
Why not?
The remains of a high wall were topped with the rusted coils of ancient razored wire, and a few white porcelain discs strung at intervals indicated that the barrier had once carried high-voltage electricity. Scorch marks along the tumbled stone showed that it had been attacked by high explosives, but luxuriant growths of ivy and orange-leaved creepers indicated that it had all happened a very long time ago. A white-painted concrete marker had been erected at that side of what had obviously once been the main gate to the establishment.
Looks new. Not like this boundary wall.
Doc was walking up and down, poking at the dirt with the ferrule of his sword stick, humming to himself.
What's the music, Doc? Sounds kind of sad to me.
It is sad and sort of solemn, I would say, John Barrymore. It was once a concerto for the cello by a composer from nearly two centuries ago, an Englishman called Edward Elgar, if my memory serves me well.
It's nice.
It's dull as shit.
Instead of being a double stoop, why don't you read what's carved on that stone marker?
Why should I?
How about I'll kick you flat on your skinny ass if you don't?
All right, all right.
Dean stopped and followed the incised writing with his finger, his lips moving slowly. A flock of gulls circled between him and the sun, making him look up.
Come on, do you want me to read it instead, Dean?
Go take a flying...
Dean stopped himself just in time, knowing how his occasional lapses into bad language upset and angered Christy. He read slowly, stumbling over some of the more difficult words on the stone.
Diviner? What's that mean?
Just keep on reading, son.
Sure. Diviner, then the dolphin is nothing yet created. For they were in olden times men, and lived along with mortals in their cities. I don't get it.
Diviner than the dolphin is nothing yet created.
For they were in olden times men, and lived along with mortals in their cities. I like that.
Ryan looked across the complex of buildings toward the glittering sea.
Those dolphins that came and saved Michael from the snake. I thought there was something strange about them.
Trained creatures, my dear Ryan? Such entertainments were popular for a time toward the end of the previous century. Until the disclosure that the shows using those beautiful creatures could be cruel.
Are we going in, Dad?
Looks like they're organizing a reception committee for us.
Inside the ruined wall was another, newer line of defense. Sun-bleached concrete, salt-stained in places, stood about 8 feet high, topped with what looked like either splinters or jagged metal, or broken shards of glass. 7 or 8 white-clad figures had appeared, out of what looked like the main entrance to the place.
We'll be fine against dwarfs armed with bows and arrows. Not much against anyone seriously wanting to find a way in.
They have guns.
Let's take it careful.
Ryan unslung the rifle from his shoulder and snapped off a quick round toward the oncoming group of people, making sure that the round hit the sandy ground a good 20 paces in front of the leading figure and 5 paces to the left. The white coats stopped, some of them throwing themselves dramatically to the dirt. One leveled what looked like an old M16, its stock bound with silvery wire. But the man who appeared to be the leader turned and snapped a command, and the weapon was lower. He then called something to his half-dozen followers. Those who dropped at the shot now rose, sheepishly brushing orange sand from their clothes.
You have made your point, stranger. Is violence necessary?
Not unless you start blasting away. We don't mean any of you any harm. Take them all out at the first sign of trouble. All of them, right?
Then come on down. I see you have quite an arsenal.
We got enough.
Now that they were closer, they could see a rectangular hand-painted sign nailed to the inner wall, at the side of the iron-bound wooden door. Mark Tomlin's Institute of Peaceful Oceanographic Research.
Dolphins again.
The man had left the rest of his group, advancing with open arms toward them. He was about 6 feet tall, lean-looking and muscular. His face was deeply suntanned, and he wore rimless glasses, perched on his aquiline nose. Ryan guessed that he was about mid-40s. Like the others, he was wearing a knee-length white coat, similar to those Ryan had seen on old vids about doctors or scientists. He didn't seem to be carrying any kind of weapon. Ryan held up a hand, checking the others.
You run this place?
The man stopped, smiling, his head slightly on one side.
Indeed I do. My name is Mark Tomlin. They are some of my assistants.
We could use some food and drink. We'd be happy to work it off for you.
I wouldn't dream of it. Strangers are welcome. Well, perhaps I should qualify that a little. Any stranger who comes with hope, love, and friendship in his heart is very welcome.
Guess that's us.
What are your names?
I'm Ryan Carter, from the Shens. My son Dean and my friend, Christy Roth, from Harmonyville. This is John Dix, Dr. Mildred Wyeth, and Dr. Theo Tanner. And Michael Brother.
Tomlin nodded to each of them, showing particular interest in Mildred and Doc.
Doctors? You mean you have some grounding in the sciences or in medicine?
I was a specialist in microsurgery and cryogenics.
I fear that my own doctorate will be of precious little use in these perilous times. My science skills are not truly applicable to this brave new world in which we live.
I didn't quite catch all of that, Dr. Tanner, but I think I understand the drift.
What do you do here?
But the man wasn't listening to Christy. Instead, he was staring intently at Michael.
Of course. You must somehow have found a way into and out of the old redoubt. I shall be interested, perhaps, to talk a little about that with you. And you, young man, perhaps next time you'll be more careful of the big serpents of the deep.
How do you know about that? Someone with a glass on the dunes?
No, no. As the bard said, there are more things.